This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Well, hi there, everybody. Welcome into a new edition of Rico Bronya as we begin our march towards opening day 2025. The New York Mets are officially done with these fake games. The non-alcoholic beer portion of the season is over. And now we just wait a couple of days to see the final 26 that the Mets construct, and then finally, opening day, Thursday afternoon from Houston, Texas, against the Astros. As we continue our march towards opening day, today we welcome in Yankee fans, because today is our annual Mets versus Yankees Bets edition, and it's very timely that we do it or record this on a Monday night, because on Monday afternoon, the Mets ended spring training by playing a game against the New York Yankees, in which we continue to act like children amongst each other. Yankee fans mocking that they took over Clover Park in Port St. Lucie and booed Juan Soto. Juan Soto getting insults from Aaron Boone about how he looks in orange and blue. And then Met fans saying, nanny, nanny, poo, poo, Juan Soto is a Met. So on that occasion, we welcome in one of the classier New York Yankee fans. You may recall that he joined us during the Juan Soto wait party. And that, of course, is the overnight host at WFAN, Chris Big Mac McMonagle. Big Mac, it's good to see you on better conditions for yourself. Yes. Obviously, the last time you were on the Rico, you publicly cried.
Well, yeah, I mean, so many things about that night upset me about this Rico Bronya podcast, because we came on, if you remember, it was like under the guise of something along this line. It was either Yankees Bets or it was like some sort of Yankee BS. And I'm like, Evan, we can't do this. We're waiting for Juan Soto. So it became a Juan Soto wait party. I finally give up on it 10 minutes later. So, like, not only do I have to come back on while you guys are celebrating and walk right into the celebration, but I miss the iconic moment of being on while the news actually breaks. Then I chime back in. Sal's practically, I don't know, half drunk on life. And the two of you guys, like, I walked in. I felt like I don't belong here. So it was a very frustrating evening. Plus, I lost Juan Soto. So,
no, I mean, that's
not my fondest memory.
Plus, I mean, that's the headline. I would ask anybody, if you have spare time as we head towards opening day, to go back into the archives and take a listen or watch. It's on YouTube. The Juan Soto wait party. And the trivia question is the one that Big Mac couldn't even answer, which was, what was the original topic of that Rico Bronya that night that eventually turned in to a Juan Soto wait party?
Yeah.
And the answer was we were creating hypothetical.
Oh, trades.
Mets, right, Yankee, yeah. Trades.
Yeah.
Like trades that would make sense. And the way that night kind of went is, all right, we're talking about it. We're having some fun. We know Soto's going to decide soon, but then we started to see reports throughout that night that he was going to decide that night. And so, yes, it turned into a Juan Soto wait party. Big Mac left us. Sal Licata jumped in. Tommy Lugauer jumped in. Hoff and I were all on the screen as we got the news that Soto signed with the Mets. And then, obviously, yes, we needed to spike the football in everybody's face. So Big Mac came on, shed a tear or two. Sean Morash came on, literally cried like a little baby. Mm-hmm. And it was a wonderful night. Have you gotten over it yet, though, Big Mac? I mean, Soto's not a Yankee. Yeah. He is a Met. Are you fully over this yet?
Yeah. I mean, I'm fully – I'll never – I'm not one of, I can't fool myself into thinking they're better off or that, you know, anything like that. But so I'm still, you know, upset over it. But yeah, I mean, am I over it? Yes. I wish, you know, certainly I wish Juan Soto would get over it, or I wish the rest of us would get over it with all the comments that constantly have to come out. Do you care why? Can I ask you a question? Do you care why he signed? Like, ultimately, we're trying, it feels like, and I hate to be a jerk here, but I'm coming on as the Yankee fan, so I'll be a little bit of a jerk. It feels like they are making documentaries. They are making any comment they can to avoid the idea that it was simply money. When Met fans are rejoicing about how rich this owner is, so what if it was just money? Isn't that good enough? Why does it have to be it's because we're the prettiest girl at the ball? Or like, why can't it just be we swooped in and we out-Yankeed the Yankees and now we're the team to come get players and pay for players? Like, why isn't that good enough?
Well, for me, and I think for most people listening to the Rico, we don't care why Juan Soto picked the New York Mets. So yeah. I think most of us are okay with that. But I want to give you a comparison that I can totally see happening. And I come from the unique perspective, actually you do too in a lot of ways, of being on the same side of this twice. The handling media-wise of the reaction to Soto picking the Mets is very similar to what happened with Kevin Durant. In that we went so long, and I said the same thing you just said, of analyzing why Durant didn't pick the Knicks. Like, it was just a constant barrage of, well, his dad had a meeting with the Knicks, then he went to Kevin Durant, or Kevin Durant didn't want to commute to Westchester, or he loved Kenny Atkinson and was YouTubing him. That obviously turned out to be a crock of crap. But we spent so much time analyzing the why. And I think the answer to why we did that with Durant and why we're doing that with Soto is actually respect to the Knicks and the Yankees, in that people couldn't wrap their head around Durant picking the Nets over the Knicks. And in a similar way, I think that's the case here, where people are having a tough time wrapping their head around a guy picking the Mets over the Yankees, even if it's as simple as money, or in the Nets case, as simple as he liked the roster better. Right. And so I think the handling of it is very similar, but I can tell you, as the victor in both of these competitions, I stopped caring. Now, it doesn't mean I get annoyed by it. Like, I'm not annoyed the way you are, but I almost kind of look and say, I don't care anymore. The guy picked my team. Like, that's all that matters to me. Now go perform.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, I'm just tired of trying to justify it, figure out why. He's a Met. I still am. I'm bitter about it. Just in the fact that I know my team suffers for it. Like, I would have done everything. I still felt that way that night I came on with you. I would have given him – you can't tell Aaron Judge you're giving out sweets, but you could tell him I'm doubling your contract. Like, I mean, it just all felt stupid to me. I would have given him anything he wanted. But ultimately, he's not here. I do think the Yankees, as I get closer, I'm starting to really get intrigued by this offense. I think it presents a lot of different things that Yankee fans, if they're honest with themselves, want to see and have been missing from a lineup for a long time. Even last year's lineup, that I don't know if they'll be as productive, because they literally had Ruth and Gehrig, Mantle and Maris, you know, in the middle of the lineup, where I don't know if you can recreate that that massive amount of run production. But look at how athletic this lineup is, how, you know, young this lineup is. That's the other thing I hear constantly about how old the Yankees are. I know DJ LeMay was hurt, I know Stanton's on the roster, and I know 37-year-old is playing first base. But besides that, everybody is under 30. Everybody is athletic. Everybody, you know, has speed. So I'm really starting, as we get closer, I am starting to get excited about this. The possibility.
As you speak, I am mentally writing down Mets versus Yankee bet ideas, because your opinion.
Well, I have one about speed. Yeah.
They're leading to so many. But before I propose some Met Yankee bets, and of course, we got many ideas from social media, we thank you. I do want to ask you a question that we discussed on Evan and Tiki on Monday, which is this idea. Tiki said it, but I understood it came from a perspective of he's not a diehard fan. But even Sean said it, who is a big Yankee fan, that they won't boo Juan Soto upon his return to Yankee Stadium. Now, you're a very reasonable Yankee fan. I know you appreciate Juan Soto. But when he walks back into that building in the middle of May, assuming you're in the building, and yes, I will do my best to make sure you have a ticket.
Is that
will you get up and boo Juan Soto?
No.
Really?
No, I won't boo Juan Soto.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
I mean, if he hits three home runs, I'll boo the third home run. Like I don't Yeah, but no, I'm not going to go out of my way. The guy hit the home run to send the Yankees to the World Series. Like that still happened.
Will you cheer him when he's announced for the first time?
No.
Okay.
That's where you draw the line. You can't leave us for the Mets. And now all this stuff. Even if I don't know if it's necessarily all true. Like apparently there's the interview in the Sports Illustrated, he talked about he doesn't know where the Yankees are going to be in 6 or 7 years. I've seen that quote floating around. I don't know if it's 100% accurate, lost in translation, or whatever the case may be. Like, I'm just tired of all of this. The whole thing is ridiculous. He's doing everything he can to try and say it's anything but the money. So I'm a little just fed up with the whole nonsense. So that will stop me from cheering him. But no, I will never boo a man who sent me to the World Series.
That comment, that quote that's gotten a lot of attention, I'm very confused by, because if you click on Sports Illustrated and that story, they didn't interview Juan Soto. They're citing The Pursuit, which is the two-part documentary the Mets put together. I watched The Pursuit. I watched part one. I watched part two. Now, I admit I am human, Big Mac. Like, I miss things. There are certainly things that go over my head or I don't digest. Like, one of the things from the second part of The Pursuit that I did digest and I put it on the air was Brandon Nimmo openly talked about texting Juan. And Soto talked about his response. So, like, there was a line of communication. So, obviously, I bring that up because of the Aaron Judge stuff.
Correct.
But I do not remember for the life of me watching The Pursuit, that specific comment. So, I'm not here to tell you it's fake or it's not real.
Yeah,
but
you might be right.
There's something off about it.
Yeah, no, I specified it as much when I talked about it. And then I almost changed the conversation to just anyone who would say this and made that the argument, as opposed to Juan Soto said this. But yeah, I mean, that's what kind of bothers me, because you can make an argument that the Mets are better set up for the next 6 or 7, 8, 10 years, that you chose the Mets for that reason. Or if you went to the Dodgers and said, look, the way the Dodgers are set up, I believe they're better than anyone in baseball for the next 10 or 12 years. But to just blatantly say, well, I didn't choose the Yankees because I don't know about where they're going to be in 6 or 7 years, when, I mean, there's not a better track record in professional sports.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think anyone provides a better where they're going to be. I know what they're going to be. They're going to be a pretty damn good team with one of the highest payrolls in baseball and an opportunity to go back to the World Series if you're on it, Juan. So, like, you know.
Brandon Nimmo pitched this in his text message to Juan Soto. Yeah. And I appreciate that he did, because as a diehard Met fan, I would make this same argument to you, which is, hey, Juan, if you win here, you're a legend. And it's not that winning with the Yankees means nothing, but it's that you've won a lot. He would be one of many guys that have delivered championships to the New York Yankees. If you are the star player of a team that wins a world championship and breaks the Met curse, if you will, since 1986, Brandon Nimmo is spot on. Like, you will just become a bigger legend. In fact, I'd argue that, look at Mike Piazza, look at David Wright. You don't even need to win a world championship with the Mets, and you can become an icon in the franchise's history. So that argument that Nimmo used is a good one, because it's the argument I've used as a fan of a lot of my teams. Hey, if you can win with the Jets, you're a god. Like, Aaron Rodgers wins a Super Bowl with the Giants, you guys will like him, but he'll never be Eli Manning. Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl with the Jets. If, God forbid, that happened in an alternate universe, they would have built a statue outside for him at MetLife Stadium. It's just the reality.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess, Derek Jeter, 22 of the 27 were won before Derek Jeter ever played for the Yankees, and he's a god.
Five!
I understand that.
I mean, Jesus Christ,
five! So it's a 15-year contract. He can win five with the Yankees and be a god. But I agree. There's no doubt.
He wouldn't have fucked with the Mets or the Yankees.
I don't know about a legend throughout baseball and in the history of baseball, but there's no doubt. The meaningful winning a championship with the Mets would endear you to that fan base on a far higher level than, and make you a legend amongst that team, where you could have a statue right next to Tom Seaver, as opposed to winning another championship with the New York Yankees while the captain, who, you know, is the better offensive player, is sitting right there next to you. So, well, I mean, maybe if you carried him the way he had to last year. So
yes.
But I don't disagree. I think there is, obviously, there's more to the idea of winning with the Mets. I think that's fair.
So let me offer a couple of Met Yankee bets, and we will agree to either 5 or 7. It needs to be an odd number, so we'll see how smoothly this goes to decide what that
number is. Can we keep track this year? Because did we keep track last year? Do we have any memory of what the bets were or who won or lost?
It's so funny you say that. So
because you keep track of everything in your little book.
I keep track of everything.
In your little, you're always constantly typing in something, your iPad.
Everything. I keep track of everything that's said on the radio show.
All the predictions you guys make.
Yeah. Everything. You're right. I keep track. For the life of me, I could not find our Met Yankee bets from 2024. So I promise you, starting now, I will keep track.
I'll be totally honest with you. The only one I know for sure, and I lost it, was Alvarez Volpe OPS.
You're right. That's
the only one I remember for sure that we did. And Volpe had a 660 and it was 710 for Alvarez.
Well, here's the good news. Okay, we have certain listeners to the Rico Bronya that will go into the archives. I guarantee this. I'm not even going to have to do work. They're going to go into the archives and they're going to supply the final bets that we agreed to last year and who won. So I can promise you by the next Rico Bronya, or at least the next couple of Rico Bronyas, we will have the results of 2024. But as far as 2025 is concerned, you were talking about the Yankee offense and how you're kind of high on it. I was thinking a very straightforward, who's going to score more runs this year, the New York Mets or the New York Yankees? And what's interesting about this is if you look at the history, and I understand that DH plays a big role in this, the New York Yankees have finished ahead of the Mets in runs scored every season, but only two times since 2008. Which is unbelievable. And I will give you the examples, the rare times the Mets have scored more runs. And actually, it's once since 2008. Let me get that right. Yeah. One time since 2008, the Mets finished a season ahead of the Yankees in runs scored. And I would argue that it's such a BS default year that the Mets won, because it was 2023 where the Mets were 20th in offense. Yeah. And the Yankees were 25th at all.
Yeah, no, the Mets were god awful. The Yankees were god awful. Yeah.
Both teams sucked. But that year is the only example. Last year, as good as the Met offense was, it was good. They were seventh. The Yankees were third. If you go back to 2022, where the Mets won over 100 games, the Mets were fifth and the Yankees were second. And every other year, I'm going right down the every single season, the Mets have been behind the New York Yankees until you go back to 2008. Where the Mets were eighth and the Yankees were 10th. And then if you want to find it before that, I don't have any records of it. Like, I literally have to go back to, I got nothing. Oh, 1990. There you go. 1990, the Mets were number one in runs scored.
There you go.
And the Yankees were 24th. So the Yankees were bad that year. So think about that. Twice in the last 35 years.
Yeah.
The Mets have scored more runs than the Yankees. Do you have the balls? It's really not. It's the opposite. I mean, you've got the ball in your court. You won this thing 32 out of 34 years.
Yeah.
Do you have confidence to say the Yankees will score more runs than the Mets?
If the Yankees score more runs than the Mets, it would be a disaster for the New York Mets. That would be a disaster for the New York Mets.
Depends.
I'm sorry. It doesn't depend. Health, sure.
No.
Like everything depends on.
I didn't say health. I'm saying here's how it wouldn't be a disaster for the Mets. And you'll agree with me. You're just not thinking straight.
The division's so bad that the Yankees.
No, the Yankees score the most runs in baseball, and the Mets are second or third. Then it wouldn't be a disaster. Terrible.
Yes, it would be.
How?
You took Juan Soto from us. We had to pivot to a bunch of guys you've been telling us are bums. I know you don't. You're not you or me, but the collective we of Met fan Yankee fans. Like, are you kidding me? Stan's gone for how long with his elbow? It would be a disaster.
But you're looking at it
between
under the prism
Yankees
of
Mets. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if the Mets see, here's the way I view things, and it's why
if the Mets win 116 games, then no, it doesn't matter who finished first or second in runs scored. But you know,
well, that's my point. Like the Mets can a lot of these years. I wouldn't say a lot of these years, but some of these years. Like 2006 is a great example. The Mets had a great offense in 2006. That's the popular comparison that we as Met fans are making in comparing this team. The Mets were sixth in baseball in runs scored. The Yankees were first. Obviously, right. If something like that happened again, in terms of you and I talking Mets versus Yankees, I guess it's a disaster. But in terms of success, it's not a disaster.
But I don't see it. Like, as much as I'm excited about what the Yankees can do, I don't see their lineup being as productive as the Met lineup.
Like, so you are not taking the bet. That's what you're saying.
I'll take it if you want to take it. No, I'm not overly confident about the Mets lineup should be vastly superior to the Yankee lineup.
Then don't take it. Don't take the bet then. Why would you take it unless you have confidence?
No, I'm not going to take the bet.
That's all, man. I'm not going to, what's it called? Pull your arm or.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I'll do it. I mean, you want to just take bets? You want to have it? That's fine. I think it's going to be closer than people think, but I'm not uber confident they're going to score more runs than the Mets. The Mets,
so we'll put that
Mets are built on their lineup.
Say it one more time.
The Mets are built on their offense.
I agree. The Mets' strength
pivoted to pitching and defense.
The Mets' strength needs to be their offense.
Absolutely.
And luckily, baseball tells you over the last 5 years, if you score a lot of runs, you're going to make the playoffs. That's the reality is, if you score a lot of runs, that's more of a priority than having a good pitching staff. Though,
I agree.
Chimp Panchus tweets, you guys should bet which team has the better starting pitching ERA for the season.
Yeah.
Now, I assume even with the injury to Gerrit Cole and at least the short-term injury, hopefully, of Clark Schmidt and the long-term injury of Luis Cil and the fact that Carlos Carrasco is in your rotation, do you still have a confidence that the Yankees will have a better starting pitching ERA than the New York Mets?
I do. On that one, I would make a bet with that because I do think they have an ace at the top of the rotation. As much as I like Clay Holmes, you're talking about a converted reliever who – hasn't thrown that many innings. Who knows what the back end of his season looks like. I still think that Luis Cil coming back in the second half, I think Clark Schmidt is vastly underrated and he's a week away. I think Will Warren has been an upper top prospect in their pitching department who's made leaps and bounds this spring. Carrasco's been good. They'll use him. They'll shift him. They'll move him around. And plus, the division's weaker. Let's just be totally honest. You guys have to play the Braves and the Phillies every 13 games. Or, I know it's not. And the National League is tougher. So I would just say that, yes, I would still have confidence because of Max Fried, because of the depth of the rotation and just the overall competition.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And they will face, I would take the Yankees rotation.
Yeah, I a part of me kind of wants to take this bet because while I don't have a ton of confidence in the starting pitching, I think the starting pitching has a chance to just be very average, which is, I think, the disconnect that maybe I have with some other Met fans or non-Met fans. Like, I'm not pitching you they're a top five starting pitching staff or top 20 or top 15 ERA. I'm just saying they just need to be average, and I believe that they'll score enough runs.
Right.
But the Yankees got hit very hard with these injuries. You know, that's the reality. I mean, Gerrit Cole not walking through that door is a huge factor, and I'm not sure what to expect from Luis Gil. I am very high on Clay Holmes this season. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you this. I'll put that to the side as well. I think that's one of those bets that we could accept along with runs scored and almost even that because the Yankees should be better as the Mets should be better. How about this one from Tim Lynch? Tim Lynch writes, how about who wins more games, Carlos Rodon or David Peterson? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think wins is a great metric, but in this case, the Mets and the Yankees are on kind of a sort of even playing field, so I'm certainly not afraid of taking that kind of bet. Plus, there's not one stat that defines a pitcher. You almost need a combination. But what do you think? Would you accept wins, Rodon, Peterson?
I think I would. Yeah, I think I would. I think over the course of the year, Rodon is a solid pitcher. I don't trust him in the big games, but I think over the course of the year, I love the Yankees' back end of the bullpen. If he can give them any kind of length in a close game, I think you got Hamilton, Weaver, Loaisiga coming back sometime in June, hopefully, plus Devin Williams is second top reliever, second best closer in baseball. So I like the idea. As much as I think the Mets bullpen is okay and is solid, I like the back end of the Yankee bullpen better. So I think there's a better chance of less blown saves for him. And plus, I mean, are the Mets going to a six-man rotation? He just might have more starts than David Peterson. So as long as they're both healthy. So I would take that bet.
That is the one negative that I have to factor in as a Met fan. Like, he's going to start with a five-man rotation, but the plan is to go to a six-man rotation. I don't think they're going to change that unless Kodai Senga gets hurt. So I am dealing from the negative of less opportunities, but the positive being the expectation is the Mets are going to score more runs.
Yep.
And I think people are conveniently forgetting, not most people, but some people who don't like the Mets or whatever, is that David Peterson was awesome. Like, maybe as a lefty, he is late blooming and he's putting it all together. So I would take that bet too, even though I know I'm going to probably get a couple of fewer starts. Also, Carlos Rodon is a major injury risk. And if we accept this bet or you accept this bet, you go in eyes wide open. If Rodon gets hurt, that's your freaking problem.
No, of course. I mean, Peterson's had his injuries too. He's had the hip. He's had different things. But I mean, I'm not uber confident on it, but I do. I would feel confident for the purposes of this show to take that bet. Yep.
All right. So this one, you're going to have to take a pen and paper out because it's very creative. You know, some of these are very basic. We've started off with the basic. This one is very, very creative, called JN Mets tweeted this one out. Marcus Stroman starts plus innings pitched. Okay.
Okay.
So we're combining those two numbers. So let's say he makes 27 starts. He throws 150 innings. Is that a fair expectation?
Okay,
that gets the number to 177. Versus Jeff McNeil, who's already hurt, by the way, so I'm dealing from a negative. Jeff McNeil home runs versus base hits, if you combine that number. And to give you perspective, last year, in a year in which McNeil played 129 games, so he missed over 30, which is probably what his number will be this year, assuming he comes back, and a year in which he was awful in the first half, but then really good in the second half. He had 12 home runs and had 101 hits. So that combined number last year for Jeff McNeil was 113. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, just to be fair, let me get Marcus Stroman's number from last year, because he also
It's going to be more than that.
Oh yeah, he killed it. He had more in that just innings, 154 plus 29. Yeah. So yeah, it was an easy win for Stroman last year. I think it's very creative. I can't take it because McNeil's out for the first month of the season.
I mean, I would do it. I also, you know, I'm hoping, and you know, I'm hoping Beatty never, you know, relinquishes the position. Like
Brett Beatty takes the job from him, and then he's not even playing.
Yeah. That's what I would hope. Like, if I was a Met fan, I mean, you want a positive? Here's Jeff McNeil never plays all year. That's a positive for the New York
Mets. Well, not doesn't play all year.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Doesn't have a starting position. Never has a position all year.
Yeah.
He's never the starting second baseman at any point this year, I think would be a massive positive for the New York Mets.
Yeah, the way I view it with McNeil, I totally get what you're saying, because Brett Beatty has an opportunity in this opening month to just take the job 100%. Yeah. But I think that baseball is a funny game, and there will be other opportunities for Jeff McNeil or other opportunities for Brett Beatty to play a different position. So one example off the top of my head is DH. Like, the Mets aren't married to Jesse Winker at DH on a one-year contract, even Starling Marte, who's been a walking injury. So it's kind of easy if Beatty tears it up to where there's still – possibilities for Jeff McNeil to play, but it's tough for me to make any kind of Jeff McNeil bet. The only bet I'd make with Jeff McNeil, and I think we flirted with doing this last year off a bad year, is putting McNeil not with Marcus Stroman, but with DJ LeMahieu. In fact, a few years ago, I love your look. McMonica's like, what? Hey, McNeil's out for a month, bro. Like, I mean, it's not like he's walking through that door. And you even just said it.
He
may not come back with a job, right?
And what's DJ LeMahieu? They don't even know what's going on with his calf. We're not even getting updates. He's just not ready. But plus, who knows what Cabrera does at third base? Like, I'm not taking any bets on him.
So you would not do multi-hit games, Jeff McNeil versus DJ LeMahieu?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm not doing anything with DJ LeMahieu. I don't want to see him play.
I got a fun one for you. This is from...
I do have one with Stroman.
Okay, give me one with Stroman, since we were talking about him before.
Well, this is the one I told you that was like kind of the jerk one that I was thinking about.
Go ahead.
Innings pitched out of the bullpen. Stroman, Clay Holmes.
I think the answer may be 0-0.
I think Stroman eventually gets moved to the bullpen a little bit, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's where Clay Holmes finds himself as well.
I would be very surprised if Clay Holmes finds himself in the bullpen for two reasons. One, I think he's going to pitch well. I think he's going to pitch well enough for the Mets not to make that change. And that's really what it comes down to. Like, I also wonder how bad Clay Holmes would have to be and how good the other options would have to be before the Mets said, hey, we're going to move a guy that we essentially promised would be in the rotation. Now, he was asked, did the Mets tell you we'll never move you to the bullpen? And Clay gave a very good answer of, nah, I'm doing what's best for the team. So are there scenarios, especially if they're a playoff team and they deem that he's not going to be a rotation starter? Sure. But I find it hard to believe that that's going to happen. And in the case of Stroman, like, the Yankees have so many injuries that I don't know if that's going to happen either, where he's going to be forced to move to the bullpen.
No, I know. That's why it's kind of unlikely for either one. I was just saying that could be fun because I could see eventually – even just on innings limits, like the Stroman triggers another $18 million next year with 140. Like, they could get to a point where they feel like they're okay winning games, could bring up, we're a couple of weeks away from getting back Luis Gil. You know, Will Warren steps into the rotation. Carrasco's pitching okay. And you get to a point where, do we really want to risk having 140 innings out of Marcus Stroman and having him on the books next year for $18 million?
Who wins the bet? Like, am I rooting for Clay Holmes? Like,
you're rooting for Stroman.
Pitches more.
Yeah.
Oh, I take that bet. I don't think Clay's pitching out of the bullpen, so I'll do it. Okay. You want to accept that?
Yeah, why not? Have a little fun.
All right. So I have Stroman out of pen. You have Holmes out of pen.
Correct.
And it's pen innings out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. This is a fun one by Andrew. And again, I don't know which person or team you take because it could kind of be construed as a negative. Mm-hmm. But which team will throw more guys to start a game, the most starting pitchers actually start a game? Just for record here, the Mets had 12 different starting pitchers make at least one start last year. And a few of them, most people forget. Julio Teheran, even Kodai Senga made a start last year, which I guess people don't forget because that was pretty memorable. So their number was 12.
Eight or nine.
Say it one more time.
What were the Yankees, 8 or 9?
Is your guess 8 or 9?
Yeah. But do we count openers?
Yeah. It's basic. It's just starting a game.
Okay. Then it might be a little higher.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Yankees were so healthy last year, so I agree with you.
That they actually, besides the Cole injury, they really weren't that bad.
Yeah, their answer is 8. They had eight different starting pitchers last year. Cody Petit made 4 starts. Mm-hmm. Will Warren made 5 starts. And then everybody else was significant. Yeah. Clark Schmidt, 16. Gerrit Cole, 17. Luis Gil, 29. Stroman, 29. Cortez, 30. And then Carlos Rodon made all 32. Would you... I guess the way I'd have to word it is, who wins the bet? You want your team to have fewer guys starting games would be my my thought.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. This year is so – I have no idea about the rotation right now and the health of it. I guess I would because I don't know what other options they have. Like – after Will Warren in the minor leagues, I mean, even their next two guys have Tommy John. Like, it would have to be trade acquisitions or – like, I just don't even think they're in good standing to, like, make that switch to anybody elsewhere. I don't – you know, the Mets have a little bit more depth. They got guys coming back. Yeah, they have more pitching depth where I could see more guys making spot starts.
Yeah, and the Mets have more willingness to pull a guy. Like, let's say Griffin Canning's had a great spring training. If he has 5 crappy starts, kind of like Adrian Hauser last year – they have Paul Blackburn. They have Brandon Sproat. They have Blade Tidwell. They obviously have Sean Manaea returning reasonably soon. I would kind of look at Luis Gil and Frankie Montas in the same situation, basically the same injury, same timeline, things like that. So I think the Met depth would actually hurt me in a bet like that where it's likely they're going to have more guys start a game.
Yeah, I would think the Mets probably throw more. For some reason, I think of him as like the first real like – opener or bulk guy. For whatever reason, when opening games, I think of Yarbrough, who the Yankees just signed. I feel like the Rays and him were like one of the first. Either he was the second guy up or the opener, but I remember him being a part of it. So I could see kind of him being involved in the mix as a spot starter from like short inning stuff, but I don't think they have a lot of depth. I think the Mets' pitching depth is far greater and more likely. So I would be okay with that bet. I think the
I'm passing. Good idea, but I'm passing on this one. This bet idea is so good. I hope you take this.
Okay.
This is from One Shining Mets. Okay. Which number is higher? Mm-hmm. Aaron Judge home runs. Very simple. Mm-hmm. Could hit 60, could hit 50 versus the combined starts from Clay Holmes and Kodai Senga. So if they're both healthy, you're looking at mid to high 50s, which is very difficult for Judge to do again. Obviously, if Aaron Judge hit 60 home runs, you win the bet. Like there's no way that Senga and Holmes are both making 30 starts, especially Senga, because they're going to use him with the extra day.
Mm-hmm.
So I would take it. I think I would make that bet because there's also the risk that Aaron Judge doesn't stay healthy, doesn't play 162 games.
Sure.
Holmes and Senga starts versus Aaron Judge home runs.
That would take it. I think it's close. I think it's like right on the number. It depends on how it goes. Senga hasn't pitched really all of last year. I just kind of made a bet where I'm thinking there's a decent chance that you could bolster the rotation by moving Clay Holmes back there with your starting pitching depth if he's not being an ace or pitching, you know, really well. So, like, I think it's like right there. So I'd have fun with it and be something to root for.
Yeah, I like that one.
Because I think Judge, you know, if Judge is healthy, he's hitting 55 home runs.
Yes.
Like, that's just, if he's healthy and plays 158 games, he's going to hit 55 home runs.
Yeah.
I still believe that. So, I mean, I'll take that bet.
This is another very good one. I don't think we're going to make this bet, but it's funny at least.
Mm-hmm.
This is from The Real DJ. Edwin Diaz blown saves versus Aaron Boone ejections.
Hmm.
And the number is not crazy. Just for perspective, Aaron Boone got ejected 9 times in 2022 and 7 times in 2023. So he's always one of the most highly ejected managers in all of baseball. Mm-hmm.
I mean, no, I think he gets ejected. He just got a new contract. He's making a little bit more money. His job security, his paycheck is up. Like, he'd be willing to get thrown out of games. He's got a lot of, you know, new players to show how much of a stand-up guy he is and how he fights for everybody. He's got a new ace starting pitcher. He's got a new practically entire lineup. He's got a bunch of young kids. I could see him getting ejected a lot. Plus, he's got the reputation around the league where it doesn't even take much. Last year, he was thrown out because a fan behind him screamed something.
Yeah.
So I think he gets thrown out of 7, 8, 9 games easy.
And the other problem is, it's while it's such a creative idea, and I thank you, the real Dr. J on social media, who wins? Like, I'm not rooting for
Dave. I like him to get ejected. I don't mind him getting ejected.
Right.
And you would rather, I mean, for me, it doesn't matter. For you, you'd much rather have me win because Diaz blown saves impact you. The manager getting thrown out doesn't impact me for the most part. I don't really care.
Yes.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't work for me, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Jason Dominguez is obviously one of the big keys, a young player blossoming into a star. I think the Met equivalent, they really don't have one, at least to start the season, but Brett Beatty is going to make the team. So flirting with the idea of some kind of bet around Brett Beatty and Jason Dominguez. The problem is I can't make anything around it because Beatty's not guaranteed to continue to play while Jason Dominguez is. Like, he's pretty much locked in to play a lot. I wanted to do an Austin Wells, Francisco Alvarez bet, but again, unfortunately, the Mets are behind the eight ball, behind the plate.
I was thinking Rice Beatty. Definitely Dominguez Beatty is tougher because Bryce isn't guaranteed anything. Dominguez,
but he could play every day, to your point. Like, he could end up being the DH.
No doubt.
I'm in.
No doubt.
You name the Brett Beatty versus Ben Rice bet, I'll take it. You want to do OPS with a minimum amount of games? You want to do home runs? As simple as that, just straight up, who hits more home runs?
Home runs, I feel good about. OPS, I'm like right there. Home runs, lefty in Yankee Stadium, I would definitely make the bet.
I'll take it. I'll make that bet. I make that bet because both aren't guaranteed playing time, like you said. There clearly is an avenue for Ben Rice because of the injury to Giancarlo Stanton. And you know, I think there's an opportunity for Brett Beatty as well.
And he
got the second base job.
Yeah. And to your point about availability or whatever, like, Beatty could take it and run with it, where even if Ben Rice has a really productive first half, when Stanton comes back, they're not going to just ignore Giancarlo Stanton. So Ben Rice, even if he plays well, could find his time cut significantly come June, July, or August, or whenever we see one. Giancarlo Stanton.
Would you want to have a who pitches first, who returns first, Luis Gil versus Frankie Montas? Basically have the same injury.
Yeah, I mean, they do. I guess I would just because of the age. But, I mean, if you want to make that bet, I would take it. But
it's not fun because you're just sitting there looking for injury updates.
Yeah, there's no fun in that one.
All right. Aaron Judge, Juan Soto. We've danced around the main event. Clearly, there needs to be numerous Met-Yankee bets around Juan Soto versus Aaron Judge. There's a lot of ways we can go. We can go with home runs. Obviously, I don't want to take that bet because Aaron Judge is a more prolific slugger. Yeah. We could do OPS, but that's another bet I wouldn't feel great about considering Aaron Judge has basically gone over 1,000 the last couple of years.
3 years in a row.
I don't know if you want to take this one, but I think both guys are going to be faced with this issue all season long, and that's not only do Soto and Judge have great eyes, but they're not going to have protection. No offense to Pete Alonso. I love Pete, but no one's protecting them enough to make pitching staff say, oh, boy, I can't walk Juan Soto or I can't walk Aaron Judge. Now, we don't even know the protection for Aaron Judge. We can certainly speculate on it being Cody Bellinger or Paul Goldschmidt or Jazz Chisholm or take your pick. Clearly the Mets are going to start with Pete Alonso, but look, Pete's going to have to hit for that protection to stick. If it's Pete Alonso from last year, it's not going to stick. For perspective on walks, last year, Aaron Judge walked 133 times. Juan Soto walked 129 times. I feel good about it on my part because that's amazing for Soto. He walked almost as many times as Judge and he had Judge protecting him, which is pretty good.
Yeah. So just straight up walks?
Would you accept straight up walks?
Where the more walks, the better?
Yes. Why would less walks be good?
I don't know. Just because I mean, that means you're less hitting. Yeah, no, I get it. You want to just do OB on base percentage or you want to do walks?
Oh, on base percentage. Yeah. I mean.
Let's just do on base percentage.
Want to do a little on base percentage?
Yeah.
That's probably the fairest one because Judge hits for a higher average, or at least he has.
He
hits more home runs. RBIs are going to be really tangled to who's on your team. And I think Soto will have an edge on that, only because he's got Francisco Lindor hitting ahead of him. We're still not sure about Judge, though it does look like Austin Wells. I would gladly take on-base percentage, Soto versus Judge.
I'll do on-base.
Soto versus Judge on-base. So, right now we have five bets. We have Carlos Rodon versus David Peterson in wins. Marcus Stroman and Clay Holmes in terms of innings pitched out of the bullpen. I would want the Yankee to throw more innings, so I want fewer bullpen innings.
Right.
Kodai Senga and Clay Holmes starts added as a number versus Aaron Judge home runs.
Okay.
Brett Beatty versus Ben Rice in home runs. And Juan Soto versus Aaron Judge in on base percentage. How about the closers? You will start the season with Devin Williams as your closer. The Mets will start the year with Edwin Diaz as their closer. They do have some similarities. They both have chances to be free agents at the end of the year. Devin is a free agent. Edwin Diaz has an opt-out clause. I think that both guys will mostly be used in that role. I know managers can get a little bit more creative going to guys in the eighth inning and it turns into a hold. So I think it's almost even in that regard. My concern for you would be Devin Williams has had injuries over the years. You have a good backup plan in Luke Weaver. Not really sure who the Met backup plan would be. I guess A.J. Minter, if he's healthy. Would you accept saves Devin Williams versus Edwin Diaz?
Would I accept saves? I mean, I do think I'm at a slight disadvantage here because I do think, as you said, Devin Williams coming off what he pitched, 60 innings last year? Not even less for a reliever. Less than that. Threw like 20, 30 innings.
Not a lot.
No, I was thinking half of a season for a starter. So not a lot of innings. Had a back issue. I also don't think, not that Diaz would throw multiple innings, but like Devin Williams, we know that these guys, and Milwaukee especially, Hader did it, Williams did it, they don't throw more than one inning. And especially as a free agent, I mean, you get paid for, you know, multiple innings don't help you. It hurts your ERA. Or like as a, you know, going into free agency, I'm sure he's not going to want to throw multiple innings. So I don't know if that hurts me or helps me, quite honest. I don't think he'll be brought into the eighth inning to save, you know, get that final out of the eighth and then come back out for the ninth and possibly, you know, get out of a jam that another pitcher would blow. But, yeah, I mean, I'm confident with him. I really am. I'm confident with him, and I do think the Yankees are going to win a lot of games, so I'd be willing to do that because I think he's going to have a better year than Diaz. So I'll be willing to take the save.
I accept Devin Williams versus Edwin Diaz in saves. Oh, by the way. I got to think things through here. I want to go back to the Juan Soto versus Aaron Judge on base percentage bet. We need to edit that a little bit because Aaron Judge is an injury concern. I know he's been healthy the last couple of years, but he is an injury concern. I need an inning. I need a minimum in terms of plate appearances. That's kind of why I lean towards walks to begin with, because I do think Soto has that edge in terms of staying on the field. So that number will obviously go up. It's a counting stat. But on base percentage, I need protection in case Aaron Judge is done in the middle of April. You know what I mean?
Okay. I don't think it should have to be that high, though. You want games played or innings?
Games. 110.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
I think that's fair. I was going to say 100, but I'm not going to argue with you for 110. That's fine.
110 games.
Yeah.
There you go.
Have to play at least 110.
How about this idea? Even though we're up to 2-4, we got 6. So we.
Well, I got one that I wanted to throw out. So I just want to get it in. We don't have to get it in now, but I want to do it because I was thinking I really am intrigued by the speed at the bottom middle of the Yankees order. So I was thinking Yankee speed versus Mets power. A higher number. Stolen bases. Dominguez, Jazz, Volpe, all three. Versus home runs, Soto, Vientos.
No. You know why I can't take that?
Why?
Because if Anthony Volpe produces, like takes a step forward offensively, that's an easy 40 stolen bases for him.
40? Easy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
How many did he have last year?
Dude, the guy never got on base. That's half the problem.
I understand that, but I'm just saying you got him for an easy 40. Like he, I don't think
hold
he
on.
Had like 20 last year.
How did I
double the stolen base is easy?
How did I caveat the entire sentence? Do you remember the first thing I said? No. It was only 30 seconds ago. What was the first thing I said?
If he produces.
If Anthony Volpe can hit, if he can produce, yes. If he can take a step forward. Perspective. Yeah. He got on base at a 293 clip last year. That's embarrassingly bad. Okay. That's not good. And with that, he stole 28 bases.
Okay.
So if you're putting him on base an extra bunch of times, 40 in his sleep. Yeah, I stand by that.
Okay.
Dude, he hit 240 with a 290 on base percentage. If he all of a sudden, I'm not saying he will, but I have to be on alert for this. He's 24 years old. Like, I'm not burying Anthony Volpe. But if all of a sudden he goes 260, 330 on base, do the math. He's on base a bunch more times. He stole 28 bases last year, 40 in his sleep.
Okay. You want to switch Alonzo for Vientos?
Hold on. I want to continue doing my math here. So if Volpe gets to 40, Chisholm last year literally stole 40 bases.
No, I know. He's a 40 stolen base guy. Yeah.
So now we've just gone.
Three.
What was that?
3 for 3.
We're up to 80 now, by the way. We're up to 80 stolen bases, and you just told me home runs from Vientos and Soto. I'm not getting to 80.
No, but I'm saying to add Alonzo.
Okay, so Jazz and Volpe stolen bases. That was it. Just those two. Or you included Dominguez.
And Dominguez.
Right?
Yeah, and Dominguez.
You know, the problem with Jason Dominguez is I don't even know what his stolen base potential is at the major league level because he's missed so much time. In the minor leagues, he stole 40 bases in 2023.
Yeah. No, I mean, these are
37 in 2023. And then last year, believe it or not, he only stole one base. So I don't know.
Well, he had the oblique issue. They probably just told him not to push it.
Very possible. So that's why I'm trying to figure out what his number is. Like, does he balloon back up to 20 or something like that? Because now if you're talking about 20, we're at 100. And if we're at 100 stolen bases, you're asking me to get 100 home runs out of Mark Vientos, Pete Alonso, and Juan Soto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not doing that.
Oh, really? I thought you'd be all that. Alonso hits 40 in his sleep. If he has a better year than last year, he was at this terrible year Alonso had. He had 35 home runs.
I think honestly, they're right at that number. If you ask me to project, like, I think that's good. Like, they'll be right at that number, but it's dangerous because of the fact that Volpe, his number could explode if he gets on base. I don't know what to expect from Dominguez. Like, if Dominguez gets back to what he was in the minor leagues, you're talking about another 25 stolen bases. Like, it's not the worst bet in the world. I just don't love it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Don't love it. Tell me if you like this one, though. Mark Vientos and Brandon Nimmo home runs. For perspective, that number was 50 last year. Okay.
Okay.
Versus Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt home runs. That number was 40 last year. So the Mets do have the edge coming in, but you certainly expect Goldie to have a better year. Bellinger's hit at Yankee Stadium. Would you do a little tag team home run match of Vientos and Nimmo versus Bellinger and Goldschmidt?
I mean,
he's thinking.
I like Vientos a lot. I think he's going to have. How many did he hit last year in his minimal? That's
part of the problem. Like, he didn't play the full season because he spent that first month and a half basically in the minor leagues, but he eventually had 27 home runs in 111 games, which gives you a pace to be in the mid-time.
Right, so it was 27-23 from Nimmo?
Yep.
Oh, 50? I don't love it.
You're thinking very hard. Like, the air is burning out of your head right now.
I don't love it. I don't love it, but, I mean, I'll do it because I'm not a coward like you with the stolen base thing.
Wow!
So. How about that? Let's do the stolen base one, and we'll do this.
You want me to do both?
I'll take this one. You take the stolen base one.
What does that mean? So we're doing both of them. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me write this down so I have it on record. Mm-hmm. Volpe plus Dominguez plus Jazz in SB versus Soto plus Vientos plus Alonzo home runs. All right, fine, I accept. And then this one is Cody plus Goldie in home runs, typing this out, versus Vientos and Nimmo in home runs. All right, we have eight bets. Let me give you a ninth.
Mm-hmm.
overall production at the position. So we'll look at OPS by the combined position. All right.
Okay.
Third base for the New York Yankees.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So that is right now, as Waldo Cabrera and Oswald Peraza will see, versus second base of the New York Mets. Right now, it's Brett Beatty. It could turn into Jeff McNeil. It could be a young prospect. Would you accept overall, whoever ends up playing the position? Look, you guys go out and make a big trade for Nolan Arenado, you're in luck. Or you make a big trade for some other third baseman we're not even thinking about right now, you're in luck. Third base production versus second base production.
No.
Okay. Third base production of the New York Yankees versus DH production of the New York Mets, which right now features Jesse Winker and Starling Marte.
No.
Okay.
I'm not bad. The hubris I would need to make a third base bet for the New York Yankees.
But all right. I give you this. DH versus DH. We do not know who the Yankee DH is, but combined stats out of DH, which remember, you'll get some Judge at-bats, so that's not too bad.
No,
my DH position, which I think will get a little bit of Soto, but probably not. Maybe a little bit of Pete Alonso. Mets DH OPS versus Yankees DH OPS after the season is completed.
Yeah. I would probably do that because I do think early on either Ben Rice is going to hit or Judge is going to get a lot of DH. So, yeah, I'd be okay with that.
All right, we've got a deal. We ended up with 9 Mets-Yankee bets. If you want to score at home and maybe make these bets with friends of yours, we did not copyright this. So if you want to offer this to your Yankee fan friends, you are more than welcome to. Rodon versus Peterson in wins. Stroman versus Holmes in fewer innings pitched out of the bullpen. So obviously we want to keep our guy in the rotation. Kodai Senga starts versus Clay Holmes starts versus Aaron Judge home runs. Brett Beatty versus Ben Rice in home runs. Juan Soto versus Aaron Judge in on-base percentage with a minimum of 110 games. Devin Williams versus Edwin Diaz in saves. Volpe, Dominguez, and Jazz stolen bases versus Soto, Vientos, and Alonso home runs. Cody and Goldie home runs versus Vientos and Nimmo home runs. And the final stats of OPS at DH for the Mets versus the Yankees. And now we're good to go. 9 Mets-Yankee bets. How do you feel, Big Mac?
I feel good. I think I should have swapped out Lindor for Alonso and the home run stolen base one. But besides that, I feel pretty good.
As you sit here right now, just days before opening day, I would like to hear your official prediction on how this season goes for both the New York Yankees and the New York Mets.
I think the New York Yankees win 93 games and win the division.
All right. And how about the Metsies?
The Mets. The Mets win 93 games and finish in second place.
Wow. So you have the Mets and the Yankees both finishing with 93 wins.
Yes.
That's going to cause a lot of fighting and a lot of bickerness. But
is that why? Well, bickerness? What's bickerness?
Yeah, bickerness is when you bicker and there's a ness to it. So it's like bickerness. Wow. You know what I mean?
What are your predictions?
I'm glad you asked. I hope everyone tunes into our very special Wednesday edition of Rico Bronya, where we will unveil all of our MLB predictions, including specific predictions for the Yankees and the Mets. So I hope you tune in Wednesday evening. It'll be posted on the MLB edition of Rico Bronya. You put me
on the spot and you can't give it to me?
Oh, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you on the Wednesday edition of Rico Bronya. So, I hope you tune in.
Well, at least give me a clue on what the bickerness is about.
Like what does that mean?
Am I creating bickerness by the Yankee prediction or am I creating bickerness with the Met prediction?
No, I think the bickerness is the Mets and the Yankees finishing with the same record, you know, both finishing at 93 wins. But obviously the Yankees would get the last laugh because they win their division while the Mets would be stuck in that wild card series, which is very dangerous. So, you are giving the Yankee fan. I think the Yankee fan would be very happy with that. 93 wins in the division. And some Met fans would probably be happy with 93 wins in a playoff spot, but because you said it as a Yankee fan, they probably hate your guts. Yeah. So
I would advise
every Met fan to do is to call up Chris McMonagle when he does the overnights at 888-808-1019 and let him know how you feel.
Yes. I think last year my prediction was pretty good. I forget the number the Mets won, but I said I was filling in for Sal the day they signed the DH, JD Martinez.
JD Martinez.
And I said 89 in the final wild card spot. So that was pretty close.
Wow. Look at you. Yep. Freaking nailed it.
I think I nailed the Mets. Yeah.
Well, Big Mac, I appreciate you coming on this wonderful edition of the Rico Bronya. Luckily, it did not end in tears like it did the last time. And I advise everybody to check out my good friend Chris McMonagle doing the overnights right here on WFAN.
We'll see you then. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us. Say it again.
No, I said thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. Nothing like being on the Rico Bronya.
Thank you very much for joining us. We've got more March to opening day. We will do Mets-specific predictions coming up on the Tuesday edition of Rico Bronya and our overall MLB predictions coming up on the Wednesday edition of Rico Bronya. Thank you very much for listening and downloading and subscribing to another edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.